Oh, thank you. What an anointing today so far. And I'm so blessed in many, many ways today, and I'm sure you are. But the Holy Spirit has really put his stamp and seal upon the meeting, obviously, and the word. So I'm so blessed with the testimony and the scripture reading and the worship. It's been wonderful. I'll share first. Pastor Trevor's asked me to share a little bit in line with coming into membership, kind of really why you haven't really seen me about a lot, really. So most people know, that coming into the area and looking for a job and everything, I've had to take on shift work, which means horrible night work, unfortunately. But it's felt like it's been quite a while, but it's almost a year now, isn't it? Almost a year. But so that's the reason, really, why if you're thinking, who's this guy? You know, I mean, I was chatting to Trevor yesterday, and he says, "I'm telling the congregation that you're a film star. You've been in a film called The Invisible Man." So. And talking about jobs, he had a recommendation because he said, "I've got a great face for radio." So, so that's the reason. I've been striving all the time to get in work that's going to make me more available, and that's coming because, of course, you know, when you're looking for jobs and everything, there has been stuff that would have taken us outside of the area. But you know what? God's called us to this church. We're committed. And this is where we are, and this is where we're pulling down our roots. Amen. So, and God honors that. And I know God will continue to honor that as pursue more interviews. And I know he's bringing us into a spacious place where I'll be able to have a normal day job and be more available. So, and there's lots to do, and I can't wait to get into more of the work. So that's really what I wanted to share with you. So if you're thinking, who is this guy, then that hopefully fills a little bit in. So thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Let's continue with the word. I'm so blessed today because, you know, being with relation to what I've been sharing there, you prepare the word faithfully, and you go out, you know, by faith. And it's just such a blessing to the Lord to, in the meeting, just to put his stamp and seal so much on where we're going through testimony. What a wonderful testimony with that young man today, wasn't it? And lovely scripture reading, anointed, Holy Spirit moving, the worship is wonderful. Let's continue now with the to go in the Holy Spirit anointing, and let's just pray together, shall we, and ask God to further anoint this meeting. Lord, we're just so grateful and blessed to be in your presence here today, in your family. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is in charge. You are in charge. You put your stamp on this meeting, and as Pastor Trevor said, this is an important time as the testimony is revealed. You've got something for us here, and you're doing something, and it's a wonderful thing to be here at your place, the River of Life Church. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, let the people not see a guy on a platform, but let them see the Holy Spirit in your word. Let it be as a seed taken to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us, Lord. Build us as we go forward in you and find the place where we need to be and where you're bringing us into. Bless our children, Lord, has already been prayed. We thank you, Lord, as they look to scripture today that we'll be talking about the believing faith in a crisis situation. We ask you to bless them, that they receive that word, and bless our teachers, Lord, as well, and the hands that are faithfully prepared all that they're giving them. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's go to word of God. We're going to go to Psalm 51, please, with me. We're going to read a little bit. I'm conscious of the time, and that's important. So I'm going to share with you a little time today about something, as you're going there, something that I am so blessed, as I said, because that young man came up and gave a testimony of what is so important in society today, and that is people need to understand that there is forgiveness. Amen? There is forgiveness. There is a way back. That's the title of my message today, The Way Back, and there is restoration. And that's why that testimony was so powerful today, to lay the foundation of where we're going in this short time. There is a way back. A lot of people in society, and as we know in our witnessing, in our workplaces and that, they feel that they've blown it. They feel that they can't get back. There isn't anything for them. They've done something that, you know, and society puts this on them, and they believe the devil's lie, that they're not useful and they can't come back. So, and here we find this a perfect example of restoration. I'm going to read a couple of verses, Psalm 51. We're all very familiar with it, so as time's going on, I won't read it all, but you'll be blessed, have a blessed time if you spend time in Scripture today reading this. Psalm 51, and we know it's a prayer of repentance to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. We sang that today, haven't we, about his loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. Beautiful psalm. And here we have, don't we? We have an insight into the restoration of King David after his sins, after he fell, don't we? And this poignant message in Psalm 51, it's a beautiful psalm. It brings what society needs, the ailment of society. It needs hope. It brings hope to us all. It brings hope to those that have fallen, because it tells them that there is a way back. Many people today, in my experience of in the workplace and witnessing, have an inbuilt idea somehow that some sins are like more important than others. I think we've all been there, haven't we? For instance, like sorting sins into categories of varying degrees of importance, you know? And of course, we know that sin is sin, don't we? We know that. All sin is evil. God can't be part of that, which is why he sent Jesus, the only mediator. Immorality is sin, pride is sin, theft is sin, and you know, even criticism is sin. So, you know, we're aware that it's there. And what sin does, mainly what it does straight away, is it breaks our fellowship with God. Breaks fellowship with God. But the good news of this psalm, the good news of his word, is that this sin can be forgiven. We had a wonderful testimony from that young man that he realized, you know, whatever it was we're carrying, it can be forgiven. There is a way back. There is a way back. I just want to share a few points and bring out some things about this psalm. And I want to share a few things about things David lost through his sin, things we lose through our sin and our falling away, that God restores through his grace. So firstly, what I want to say is that David and we, David had the restoration of lost joy, didn't he? Restoration of lost joy. We had a reading just a moment ago that was spontaneous about the joy. Our prayer, the prayer early on from one of the worship team there about the children would have joy. You know that. Amen. He had a restoration of lost joy. Go with me to just Psalm 51 and verse 12. David prays, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Some version says free spirit. In that area of lost joy, we lose quickly two things straight away. We lose the joy of fellowship. We've been talking a lot about the importance of fellowship today, but we lose fellowship with God. We lose our joy. We're out of fellowship with God, and that's the worst place that a believer can be. Amen? Out of fellowship with God. And there's no loneliness to compare to that place. Another thing we lose is we lose actually the strength of our joy. We lose the strength of our joy. I won't actually go to this because of time, but I'll just read this. Now, listen up. This is a vital point. We lose the strength of our joy. Well, what does that mean? Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the second part of that scripture, says something we know very well. It says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Right. But you know, what does that actually mean? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Nehemiah was responsible for protecting God's people. He was responsible for building the walls, wasn't he? And protection. Now, so there's no coincidence that that word strength in that scripture, when it's paired back to its original translation and simplified, means rock. It means fortress. It means a stronghold. The joy, that means the joy of the Lord is our stronghold. It's our strength, you see. It's our strength. Now, rock, fortress, that's why it's imbibed within that word. It's a defensive position, not offensive, isn't it? It's our defensive position. The joy of our salvation protects us. And David knew this when he wrote this psalm, because he knew what it was like to be out of that joy. He knew he wouldn't last 2 seconds without the protection of the Lord. It's our protection. It protects us. It's a safe place. Amen. It's the only safe place. And if you're listening today, not only here, but later on some device, if you don't know the Lord and you've been looking for a safe place in the wrong places, there is only one safe place, and it's return to the Father who's waiting for you. He's our only safe place. He's our only rock, our only fortress. And that is where our joy is. No wonder the enemy works day and night to take our joy. Amen? That's why he wants to take it, because he wants to make us vulnerable. You see, when we step out and we're out of fellowship with God, we put ourselves in a vulnerable place. Nehemiah's whole ministry was building a wall. If you stepped outside that wall, you were vulnerable. The strength is to be inside fellowship, inside the strength. The joy of the Lord is our safe place. And that's what happens when we fall out and we sin, but that was restored. It was restored to David, and it can be restored to us. Another thing, when we look at this template of repentance, if you like, we look at this, the restoration that we receive and David received was he had a restoration of lost family. He had a restoration of that which was precious to him. 2 Samuel 12:18, we know, on the seventh day, his aides went to him, and on the seventh day, came to pass, and the child was dead. We know what happened, don't we, with the fruit of his union with Bathsheba. Now, his aides at that time, when we look at 2 Samuel 12, it would be a great time to spend in that later. When we look at that, we see that his aides didn't want to go in and tell David that his child was dead, because he was already in such a terrible condition for his recognition of sin. And by the way, the gospel without the recognition of sin and repentance thereof is not the gospel. And we're hearing a lot of it on the internet and everywhere. Turn away from it, because it's not the gospel. You know, as much as God's love is to us, there's equal of his wrath when he looks at sin. And that's why he sent Jesus. Amen. They didn't want to go in to tell David that he lost his son, because they'd never seen David like this. He was beside himself with grief at his sorrow of his sin. And they thought he would actually harm himself if they told him that the son was dead. But that's what happened. But you know what? Something wonderful happened then. A little bit further in 2 Samuel 12, we read, when he went into Bathsheba again, after that repentance that we see in 2 Samuel, she bore him a son. She bore him another son. And you know, this was a wonderful time of double blessing for David, because that was Solomon, wasn't it? She bore him a son, Solomon. Do you know what Solomon stands for? It's, the word translated means peace. It means peace. But you know, It was such a blessing. It was a double blessing because God, through his prophet Nathan, gave a word to David and said, also call him Jedidiah. And Jedidiah means beloved of God. Can you imagine when David received that word through the prophet? Because David had received something through Nathan that wasn't nice before. He had that revelation, didn't he, about his sin. But this time, Nathan comes to him and he says, Jedidiah. He says, beloved of God. David knew in his heart he had that great peace and knowledge that God was smiling upon the situation. His joy had returned. It was a joy to the Lord to give back David his strength, to give back David his stronghold. It's a joy to the Lord. He's waiting to give us back that which we have stepped out of. But we have to recognize, as David did, we have to recognize and do that 180 and turn around. And he's waiting for us, isn't he? Amen. He's waiting for us. He restored David. When we look at other parts in the Bible, it just backs this up totally. Remember, of course, the book of Job. Now, Job was a person who suffered greatly as well, wasn't he? Do you remember when he opened his, in the book of Job, he said this statement in Job 1:21. He said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. I'm hearing now the New King James Version. I think the word is thither. Right? Naked I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And he was a man indeed who went through great trial and lost many things dear to him. But you know what? When he came through his trial, when he held on through that trial, he was able to say, the Lord takes but always gives. I wonder if you've enjoyed coming to that place and you've enjoyed the thrill of peace that comes with restoration. It's available. There is a way back. Remember, didn't David write in what has got to be one of our favorite psalms? He said, he restores my soul. He knew his God was a restoring God. Amen. God gave David peace of knowing that he was back in his fellowship. One last thing I just want to share with you about what we receive in restoration and what David actually received. And this is amazing. If the other two I've shared wasn't enough, this is absolutely amazing. And this is where the Holy Spirit has anointed us to be right this moment. And as Pastor Trevor said, we need to hold on to this. Amen. What that God does is he restores to us lost years. I'm going to say that again. He restores to us lost years. That great prophecy by Joel in Joel 2:25, he says, I will restore the years the locust have eaten. I will restore the years the locust have eaten. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? God even restores the time we have wasted when we've been out of fellowship with him. He's a restorer. God gives us the way back. Not only the way back, but he restores that time. So what does that tell us? Well, if we've somehow through something, it could be a little thing, we put ourselves on the shelf and we've listened to the devil's lie and said, you're no use anymore. He says, you can't go back. You've done this. You've blown it. If we listen to the devil's lie, which we shouldn't, we have to go to what God's heart says. And he says, not only is there a way back, but he gives us back the time we've wasted. Amen. What does that mean? Well, he gives us back that time where we can be effective again. Where we have once been ineffective, we can be effective again in the fellowship. It's time to come back, amen? It can be effective again. That prophecy from Joel means that there's a latter rain outpouring, waiting for each and every one. And you can come back and enter into that latter rain, Holy Spirit blessing, only through the agency of the Holy Spirit. You can come back. It doesn't matter what age you are. Now, the world, I'll say it, we know it, the world is ageist, whether we like it or not. But you know what? God isn't. It doesn't matter how old you are, what age you are. There's always a way back. And there's a latter rain. Joel said it. Please go to that scripture and you'll get an anointing by reading it again. The latter rain harvest will come upon you and you'll get an anointing of the Holy Spirit when you come back that will enable you to do things that you did in your youth. You will be able to do things. Those years will be restored. What a God we have. The God of restoration. All those years we say wasted, believe in the devil's lie. When we turn around, we do that 180 and we pick ourselves up and get back. We know that he's got a job for us to do. That we know that we can be effective again in the kingdom. Amen. There's an outpouring waiting for us by the Holy Spirit, through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And we actually see this in this psalm. I'm just going to share this with you. Because what happens in this psalm is David comes into a new anointing after his repentance. From about verse 10, we see a little bit of a change. Because what we see is that although David's heart was crushed by his shame, we see that he was shattered by his sorrow over his sin. He knew the great breadth of God's mercy. He knew, because we see how in this psalm, well, once sins are confessed, they're forgiven, they're purged, David actually dares to ask for God's choicest gifts. He asks for joy, he asks for restoration, he asks for his presence, he asks for Holy Spirit to not leave him, to anoint him. Why? Well, because then we see he humbly offers himself. He offers himself humbly to be used as an instrument, doesn't he? To show God's praise and to teach others. Do this for me, Lord, so I can show other transgressors your ways to your praise and glory. He asks them, and you know, that's what we can do. You see, isn't that wonderful? Not only does God give us a way back, not only does he take care of the years we've wasted and give us those years, but even uses that experience that we've been away to his glory. Because that experience you come back with is going to help somebody. That experience that has been such a burden to you is going to be an anointing for somebody else, because you can share that with them. And that's unique. That's your ministry, and no one else has got it except you. So when you come back, you'll be used so effectively in the kingdom. And you'll have that anointing and those lost years returned. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He asks for all these things and he comes boldly. He knows his God so well and his great breadth of his mercy that he comes boldly and says, Lord, give me these things so I can be used of you. Amen. And actually, this psalm is evidence that God accepted that offer, isn't it? Because it's a teaching tool for us. It's exactly that in process, because that's what happens. You know, we get it. Thank you, Lord, for that. David was given a way back, and so can we. Amen. That's the good news. Amen. It's never too late with God, and God doesn't waste anything. It's never too late with God. He'll restore that lost time for you. He'll restore that lost time for you. You'll have an energy, and you'll have an anointing that you'll be working and moving that you were as you were in your youth. Praise God. You know, coming into the New Testament just briefly, and we're going to pray in a moment, the Apostle Paul also knew this. Now, the Apostle Paul also was a man who sinned greatly. Amen. We know his past of absolutely persecuting God's people and totally against God. God got him to a place that when he was blinded, that's where he saw most. Amen. He brought in there Paul knew this. He is one who sinned greatly, and that's why he could write to the Ephesians in chapter 5, 15 and 16. He said, see that you walk circumspectly. I like that word. See that you walk with caution, that you be careful, not as fools but as wise. And here it is, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, from the Old Testament is transferred into the New and maybe more relevant to us. But Paul says we can redeem the time. So Paul knew as well, as an ardent student of God's Word, he knew that we could redeem the time. If we walk wise in God's ways and come back, that we can actually redeem time. Now, what does that word redeem mean? It means ransom, doesn't it? It means ransom. But it also means something else. It means rescue from loss. Rescue from loss. You know, you think you've done something, you've blown it, you put yourself on the shelf because you believe the devil's lie. Listen, he's working day and night to take our joy away, amen? He's working day and night to try and remove that protective covering we have where our joy is. But there is a way back, and it's all there. Rescue from loss. Let's pray together, and I'll be blessed if you agree with me in this prayer as we close. So we thank you for your word, Lord, today. And Lord, if there is anyone listening here or elsewhere who doesn't know you, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit anointed upon them to go and turn around, do the 180 that's necessary, to come back to you, to find you, because they can come home to the Father who's waiting for them. We send this blessing out. We send this desire out. If you're listening right now, turn around. Speak to somebody. Say, I maybe don't understand it all, but this is what I feel I've been spoken to, and just pursue it. Turn around. There is a way back for you. You haven't done anything that God can't forgive you of. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your confirmation of this word. We know, Lord, that when we turn around, we have the restoration of joy. Thank you for fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord, that you're a safe place. We have restoration of lost family. We have returned to us that which we've lost and was precious to us. And thank you for bringing us in, Lord, to that place of peace. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful promise of the return of lost years. The latter rain blessing that can be ours, Lord, to be effective for you in the kingdom. And the boldness, give us the boldness, Lord, we pray, each and every one of us here, give us the boldness to ask like David, to ask for the desires of our heart, to be used of you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this word goes deep as a good seed in good soil to bear much fruit. We thank you, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.